G'day Australia, and welcome back to the Bloody Aussie Battler podcast with your host Mike Holt. We continue our discussions today with Brian Shaw. So far, Brian and I have explored the history of our Constitution and where it went wrong. In today's podcast, we're going to examine the powers wielded by the government and their validity, as well as learning what our powers are as members of the Commonwealth of Australia. Now, we hear many people saying, why doesn't the government fix this, or why doesn't the government fix that? The fact is, we are the government. The politicians, judges and police are merely servants of the government, servants of we, the people of the Commonwealth. They have forgotten this. Actually, they haven't. They conveniently ignore it in their quest for more power over us. And we give it to them. But now, as we learn the truth, we can start to work together to fix the problems ourselves. So without any further ado, I'm pleased to welcome back Brian Shaw. So Brian, when we were talking offline just before, you said that it's actually very easy. So maybe we should talk about what happened with Joe Bjelke-Petersen first, and then segue into what we as people of the Commonwealth can do.
Thank you. When we're referring to Joe Bjelke-Petersen, from memory, the Queensland Hansards, 7th of December 1977, I'm saying that because that will nail the Hansards, anyone who knows how to check a Hansards, and most people would say, what the hell's a Hansard? A Hansard is every word spoken in a parliament, whether it's state, Commonwealth or UK, recorded. So you can, it's a legal document, you can use it in a court of law, that can't be challenged. So if you use a Hansard as an exhibit, it's beyond challenge. But in this particular case, Joe said in the Queensland Parliament, at the time he was the Premier, and he was talking specifically about Section 53 of the Queensland Constitution, which is a binding section to send it to state referendum to see if the Queenslanders agree or disagree.
Right.
So Joe said, and I consider them monumental words, he said, we are entrenching Section 53. Now, I'm a farmer. Don't the hell ask me what the word entrenching means, but they seem to know, even though he was a peanut farmer. And peanut, whatever. But he used the word entrenching.
Which means entrenching, sticking it in.
Beg your pardon?
Which means sticking it in and keeping it there.
Well, it actually means that no parliament can change this, apparently.
Yeah.
But my legal knowledge comes from like a $2 Butterworth's legal dictionary type thing. And I say $2 because it usually bought at the op shops. But the big words he said in it, which we're entrenching Section 53 to block a Labor Party Socialist Republic by stealth. Well, that's what you now got.
Mm.
But the problem with that is, did you get it legally? No, you didn't. Because all the referendum issues required were all omitted, right through to today. But people then want to know, well, what can we do about it? You bellyache about a politician, you bellyache about someone, you bellyache, oh, I better start my own political party and get there and tidy it all up. Well, you'd be committing a crime if you tried to do that. Are you aware of that?
Mm.
Because with the Queen removed, without the referendum, and the date was 1st of January 2004, nobody's got a valid grant of power, and nobody can validly fill out a nomination form. If they attempt to, or a court attempts to conceal this, you have a complete right to initiate a private prosecution. You can go to the where you do that, lodging a criminal charge. Now, what most, what's called the state coppers, they won't give you a copy of the forms they use to charge criminals or alleged criminals. They won't give it to you. How do you get it? Start some type of litigation, civil or criminal, and subpoena the copper who wouldn't give it to you. And he'll come to the court with it. And this, usually when you make it that clear to him or her at the cop shop, they'll give it to you so they don't stand in a court of law to say, why didn't you give it? So you'll get the form, their form. Otherwise, you get what's called the court form, which is another 10-odd pages type thing to confuse people who want to do private prosecution. They have two different forms. But the one you want in any state is the one that the state police uses in that court, and they won't give it to you. So just subpoena them is the simplest way. And I'll tell you now, a subpoena is 10 times stronger than a criminal charge.
So let me just backtrack here a moment. How do we go to court and do that?
Traffic ticket can do it.
I see. So you get a traffic ticket. So you've got to break the law to get there.
Easy done. I was down in Hobart the other week, and the guy said, oh, I'm only allowed to park here because you've gone to the Supreme Court, so you're a matter. But he's not a plaintiff. And he said, oh, I'm only allowed to park here for 2 hours, then I've got to move the car. I said, just leave the car there. You'll get a ticket. I learnt law on traffic tickets.
Yeah.
Because it's as simple as when the magistrate says, well, what's your defence? I said, well, when you removed the Queen, your grant of power went out the door. And suddenly you're in the ball game for the cost of a traffic ticket.
Okay.
It costs you $60, which you will, you won't be, you don't have to pay it for another 3 years anyway, because it'll litigate that long. But what you want in that is they've got to do a notice 78B. Now, the average person say, well, what the hell's that? I saw it get played the other day in the Tasmanian Supreme Court. And the judge made it look like they don't know what they're talking about. So he didn't deal with it. But we're about to deal with the judge by criminally charging him for concealing the offences that would have been in the 78B. Now, 78B notice is section 78B of the Judiciary Act. That's a notice that says if any constitutional point comes into any court, you've got to stop, the court's got to stop and notify all the Attorney Generals. Now, here's where you're in the ball game, private prosecution.
When you say all the Attorney Generals, you're talking about what, just in one state or all states?
All states, Commonwealth included. All Attorney General. Now, let's say you're the Attorney General of Queensland and you copped the 78B. That shows you now have knowledge that the Queen's been removed without the referendum. Where's your legal ticket now?
In Woolworths.
It lollipop.
Yeah.
But if you conceal that, can we charge you privately?
Yep.
That's where you're in the ball game.
Okay.
So let's assume you've got 12 senators sitting in Queensland now from the last election. Who issued the writ for Queensland senators?
I have no idea.
It's issued under Section 12 of the Commonwealth Constitution. So Section 12 says the governor may issue the writ. So that's your state governor. But how can it be the state governor if the Queen's been chucked out? Or is this the criminal you're now looking at?
That's the criminal we're now looking at.
Now, if the coppers, state or federal, don't arrest the governor, can you arrest the copper?
Yes.
What's the copper's defence? They haven't got one.
No.
Got it?
Yep.
That's why private prosecution outranks the whole fraud. You are fraud. You are defending your country on the simplest thing of saying, well, you're under arrest, but I'll let you sort of sit there till we work it all out. But now I'll officially do it. I did it by grand jury. When I arrested three Supreme Court judges sitting on the bench in West Australia, they all thought I would do something in West Australia, but I don't live in West Australia.
Mm.
So I jumped on a plane, come back to Victoria, and it legally put them all, and I'm talking at the time 28 of them, through the Melbourne Magistrates Court. Guess who showed up to defend them?
The Federal Attorney General.
No.
Who?
The Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions, even though he was charged as a defendant.
Oh, my word.
Damien Bugg.
Oh, him.
He was a defendant, and he sent his offsider to get them all off, including him, so they could all go for lunch. Now, if any Aussie is stupid enough to tolerate that, you've lost your country.
Now, maybe we should talk a little bit about who this Damien Bugg is, because I believe he came to notice to the forefront in the Tasmanian massacre and went on from there. Can you give us a bit of background on him?
The alleged perpetrator was Martin Bryant.
Right.
But a state politician, I think, on the steps of the New South Parliament about a year prior to that said, not in the parliament, but outside the parliament, and there's a difference there between parliamentary privilege.
Yeah.
But he said, we will not get the guns off the people until there's a massacre in Tasmania. Now, how the hell did he know there was going to be a massacre in Tasmania? When Martin Bryant was allegedly, the process was, this person was, are you guilty or not? I didn't even go there. I didn't know, whatever. They didn't like that answer. So they chucked him in solitary confinement for 120 days.
Mm.
And when he eventually came out, he said, you're guilty. But you don't do that to someone who has to stand trial on a criminal offence, such as killing, murder or whatever. Now, Section 80 of the Commonwealth Constitution guaranteed him a trial, a jury trial. But he never got a jury trial.
No.
Who stopped the jury trial in Tasmania?
Damien Bugg.
Now, all the private prosecutions I've done, and here's where you ask how many people have I got pending grand jury in Victoria that have never gone to trial.
Okay, how many people?
Who has gone to trial?
I don't know.
Not one.
Hmm.
Who's blocked it all? And a defendant himself, Damien Bogue. So did he not give Martin Bryant a trial in Tasmania? No, he never.
No.
But is he blocking all the trials on the mainland?
Yeah.
Now, I've been made vexatious in two states. The vexatious just simply means I'm filing documents at the Supreme Court that have no cause of action. I'm saying the removal of the Queen without the referendum is the biggest cause of action they'll ever get.
Yeah.
And so are the juries. But when I've gone to criminal prosecution, and that is where you just fill out the paperwork and it says informant, you just name yourself. Once they sign that off, you've got the defendant in the court within 28 days. That's a pretty good start. I've got every Attorney General charged on that charge. Your Queensland Attorney General at the time was Kerry Shine. He's running a law firm now, nominated in his state elections. He hadn't told anyone in Queensland. He's still pending a criminal charge, the biggest charge in this country. Now, the biggest charge in this country is misprision of treason, not treason. What's the difference? The difference is Queensland didn't commit it, West Australia did. But once Queensland becomes aware of it, they're then concealing it. That's misprision of treason.
Right.
Now, under Section 80 of the Criminal Code Act 1995, which is a Commonwealth Act, what's the penalty for committing treason or concealing treason under that section?
Life in prison.
Correct. They're two different acts, they're two different charges, treason itself and then the concealment of it. So everyone in Queensland who has notice of it is automatically concealing it if they don't do anything with it. That's why you can do a citizen's arrest. You can arrest the bench or the prosecutor, but best off not to do that. Because if you explain it correctly, they'll all get on the page and start to work for what you call the security of Australia. Because the average person doesn't know who's making all this happen.
Mm.
As I said to a magistrate the other day, I said, because I got booked in my car for driving through Melton, one of the cities here in Victoria. And I said to him, he said, well, what's your defence? I said, did the offence occur in Melton? Yeah, it's on your brief. And I said, but didn't you know Melton's a new state? What are you talking about? He wasn't angry or whatever, just, he didn't know. I said, how come he didn't know? Well, hang on, he said, back it up a bit. When did they do that? Because here's a magistrate sitting in Victoria with a portion of the state, a new state, but he doesn't know. Why didn't he know? No referendum to do that. He said, who did that? I said, a federal judge sitting on her own, Michelle Gordon, in Melton Shire Council versus the ATO, they wanted a ruling and made Melton a new state. I said, that's impossible, because you broke every law in the country to do it, and nobody knows that they're splitting our state up. So I'm being booked in a state that legally doesn't exist. Where are you going to go now?
I've never heard of this.
Got it?
But I did know there were problems with Melton.
Melton knows it's a new state. But now ask me who Michelle Gordon is, because she got promoted after that. Where is Michelle Gordon today?
Don't know. Who is she?
She's a High Court judge.
There you go.
No, you've got to ask me a better question. Who's her hubby?
He's probably the Attorney General.
General Payne. Is he pending the criminal charge?
Yeah.
Did he tell the Royal Commission bankers?
I don't know about that.
No, never. You're not going to stand up and say, I'm on a criminal charge. I probably shouldn't be running the Royal Commission and I'm pending the grand jury in Victoria. Did he say that?
No.
Because if he did, get off the bench. But the problem is, did that non-disclosure just nullify the Royal Commission? How can they call it the Royal Commission if you chuck the Queen out?
Yeah, exactly.
You have to call it a buddy's commission or a mate's commission, don't you?
Yeah.
You're asking me how it's gone wrong, and I'm telling you, you're telling me, asking me then how to do something. Private prosecution, but you lay the facts out. Every document, when you're fronting a bench, should be filed and served, so they know what's coming in the corner, or around the corner, and they know what's about to happen.
Mm.
Now, your 78B notice going to all the Attorney Generals automatically shows you've got a fraudulent brief of power, Cobber, because what you're doing is cutting off the source of who's doing this and telling them what to do by placing them into the criminal arena. But you can only do that. Now, here comes the critical words of Section 80 of the Commonwealth Constitution, trial by jury. That can only operate on the indictment. There's a word in there, indictment. Most people don't understand what that means. Now, let's say you're going to indict or charge the Governor of Queensland. Some people in listening to this in Queensland will now know, hang on, I'm going to do that, but they don't know the process.
No.
But when you do it, lay the charge at the cop shop or the either state police or the federal police, they have to take your charge. Do you know why? Because if they conceal it, they're automatically on the blank sheet you brought with you. Fair comment?
Fair enough.
So you're actually dragging the police into the matter. They're not happy campers, but who gives a hoot? If you're going to defend the country, you've got to make the federal police and the state police do something to defend it. That's what they're purportedly out there for. If they're not doing their job, have you ever got a copy of the police charter? I've got one. But it actually says in that charter, the public are the police. That's why you can arrest. The police are a portion of the public who do it full time while the other people get about their business. That's what the charter says.
Yeah, now I published an article the other day on my CIR Now website explaining what the police are supposed to do, right? The laws under the Crimes Act and everything. And I suggested to people, if you see a policeman, for instance, pulling you up in a on the side of the street and he's not wearing a yellow vest, he's in trouble because the law states that he has to. Or if he's wearing a gun in public or even a taser without a cap on, this is Queensland, then again, he's out of uniform and can be charged.
Go beyond that, because let's concentrate on when you do, like, begin to, now, with Jerry and Jim in Gippsland Court the other week, yeah, they did arrest the magistrate and the police prosecutor, but the next step is, most people just leave it at that, but the next step is to go to the cop shop in the same town.
Right.
And place the criminal charges for the coppers in that. You know, one of the coppers coming back from the courtroom and saying, that's me. You're not going to charge me, you idiot. I'm your boss. Excuse me. If we don't, they're charging me too. Now, we had state DPP showing up at the court matter one day. When they handed the letter of that they were going to take over, one of my mates stood up and he said, that lady over there, she comes from the state DPP office, and she's given me a letter that says they're going to take over, but I can't read the signature. And the magistrate said, well, yeah, what do you want? He said, I want to know the name of the lady that handed it, because I can't read it. She's sitting right there. And the magistrate looks at her and goes, they want my name. They want Do you know what her answer was? I'm not going to give it to them. And he said, why? And she goes, because they'll charge me.
So they know.
Hold on, she was right. Yeah. That would have happened in the next 5 minutes. That the Aussie is superior to any politician, any copper, federal or state in this country when they took the Queen out.
Yeah.
That left every Aussie to say, you're a trespasser.
Yeah, because we're all members of the Commonwealth.
You've got to do it correctly. You'll find your nose buried in the carpet by by security services rather than coppers. Because the coppers won't touch it. They know the liability issue. But the problem is the security services, they're there for that. But the problem is the average person doesn't know then how to initiate a civil writ against the person who touched you. Because they're touching you without a grant of power. That's big time. Can we make the next session the banks?
Yes, we could.
All because of Kenneth Hayne.
Okay. Thanks very much, mate. And as usual, a very interesting discussion. And certainly learning a lot.
Do you know that by 2030, as many as 800 million jobs could be lost worldwide to automation? Future Blackboard is an educational platform for developing emerging careers, jobs, and skills. Future Blackboard offers courses designed for the future. Are you concerned about cybersecurity? Future Blackboard is offering a course on how to spot and beat hackers, prevent tracking, browse anonymously, and counter government surveillance, as well as master the tools for antivirus, malware, and disk encryption. Future Blackboard is offering a special price for just $65 for June and July in cybersecurity and anonymity. Enroll now at www.futureblackboard.com and click on Courses on the menu. Dick Yardley's book, Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage. Dick exposes how Whitlam, Hawke, Keating, Goss, Rudd and all the other Fabians have destroyed our manufacturing and agriculture. If you want to know exactly how they have done it, get Dick's book at advanceaustralia.com.au and click on Merchandise. Knowledge is power. Get the power to fight the corruption today. You have been listening to the Bloody Aussie Battler podcast.